praise the Lord. Father's Day. You know, if you were to go through the Bible and try to find scriptures having to do with fathers, it's not real easy to do that. You find the word father mentioned throughout the scriptures in various places, but usually, often, more often, it has to do with the fatherhood of God. It has a lot to do with the fatherhood of God. And a number of years ago, it was kind of an alarming thing, I thought, when people wanted to redefine the definition of God and started using feminine words to describe who God is, pronouns and that they would use of God. Like I heard one person say, I believe it was a feminist, who said, you know, I thank God for who she is, or I thank God for her blessings, etc. And so there's been kind of a cultural battle over the term God. Isn't it interesting that sometimes the cultural battles are over terms? We have this cultural battle over the word God. What does God mean? And then we have a cultural battle raging currently on marriage. What does marriage mean? And it seems like, you know, people who want to be rebellious, they'll pick up on almost anything. You can't please them. You just can't please them. People who are in rebellion against God cannot be pleased by anybody. Even when it seems like you're moving in their direction, they'll find something else that they'll pick out to try to challenge you on. Well, the Word of God is very clear on this. It gives us a picture of God and gives us a good idea of what God is like. In fact, Jesus said, the question was, what is God like? And we say that no man has seen the Father, but Jesus then later says, well, if anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. And what he meant by that was that we know what God the Father is like by looking at the life of Christ. It's a very important concept in Scripture. There's an exalted position of the Father. And in ancient cultures, many ancient cultures, the role of the Father was very important and it was elevated. And we notice that as we progress through time up to modern times, things have changed somewhat. In fact, this morning I want to speak on this subject, being the Father God favors, being the Father that God favors. You know, being a modern-day father requires skills that were not always viewed as being essential for fathers of earlier times. You know, years ago, fathers had their role in the family, and then the mothers had their role, and oftentimes the mothers were the main caregiver in the home, but times have changed. Because of economics, oftentimes we find that there are two parents working in the home now. Sometimes there are single parents, and so roles have changed. And so some of the roles of the father, some of the skills that the father were required of the father have changed. Some of you remember Jimmy Pearsall. That name ring a bell to any of you out there, any of you guys? Remember Jimmy Pearsall? You have to be a little bit older to remember who he was. He was a very interesting athletic figure, and he played in Boston for a while in the 50s. In fact, growing up, I remember seeing him out there play, played center field, and he was an interesting person, and there are all kinds of anecdotes about him, some of the stuff, the things that he said and what he did, and it's quite interesting if you read up on him. But the reason I mentioned him today, he made a statement on how to diaper a baby. And I thought I'd read this to you from Jimmy Pearsall, former player with the Red Sox, baseball player. He said, this is what you do. You spread the diaper in the position of the diamond with you at bat. Then you fold second base down to home and set the baby on the pitcher's mound. Put first base and third together. Bring up home plate and pin the three together. Of course, in case of rain, you got to call the game and start all over again. Quite an interesting way to describe how to diaper a baby. Well, sometimes, you know, we men find ourselves doing some things that out of necessity that we need to do because the role of the father, it's an important role, and now we share a lot of responsibilities that at one time were pretty much confined to what women would do for children, but it's an important role. And when you talk about the fatherhood and what does God say about it, there's a song. There's a few verses in the psalm, a couple of them that I want to read for you. It's found in Psalm 5, the fifth psalm, and two verses. And it reads like this: "But let all who take refuge in thee," speaking of God, "let all who take refuge in thee be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and mayest thou shelter them, that those who love thy name may exult in thee." And then in verse 12 it says, "For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield." I was thinking about that verse. That's really, when you think about what it's saying there, because in the days in which we find ourselves, no one, I think, will disagree with the statement that these are challenging times in many ways for all of us, but also for men. And there's a lot has been said about the role of the man and the role of the father, and is it changing, and what is the proper role of the father in the family? And I would ask the question first off, what does it mean to be a good father? What does it mean to be a good father? Depends on where you go. I mean, to get an answer to that question, there are some say, well, you know, to be a good father, you really have to go to parenting classes. I never went to parenting classes, but I do know that some folks oftentimes they'll go to parenting classes. I'm not quite sure exactly all the instructions that are given there, but I assume a lot of them would be similar to what we've experienced in life. But parenting classes, well, that's where you got to get. In fact, some are mandated because of things that have happened, and maybe they were found guilty of mistreating a child or whatever, and they're sent to parenting classes. That's where you're going to learn to be a father. Just go to the parenting class. Some would say, well, you know, to learn to be a father, I think the best thing is advice from your family or friends. I go to friends. I ask them, what would you do in this situation? And it's interesting. Every week on the job site, they're friends share information about a lot of things. And one of the things they might share information about is family issues. What would you do in this situation? You know, how would you? And some people, they look at what their friend did or their acquaintance did, and they say, well, that's what seemed to work. I guess I'll do it that way. That's where some folks get their advice about how to parent and how to be a good father. Well, I got it from my friend. And some folks, what they do is they don't go anywhere outside of their relationships, other than what they experienced in their family as they grew up. Many will look back and say, what was it like growing up in my family? Do you know what they find out in many cases? That oftentimes, men grow up and they begin to parent and father in much the same way that they experienced when they were growing up. Now, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not so good, but it's the influence they had on their earthly father as they were growing up that helped shape the way that they father in the present day. For some, they try to model what was done, and for others, they try to, because of maybe a bad experience, they try to do something different than what they experienced at that period of time in their life. How do you learn to be a great dad? You know, how is it? Well, what are society's expectations? I've mentioned that there are a lot of pressures today from society. And for some men, it's they almost don't dare to do anything because they're afraid that they might be questioned by society in one way or another. They're in a quandary as just what does it mean to be a good dad? Society's expectations, I think one of the things can be said, society expects you to be a good provider, you know. Scripture even says if you're not going to work, you don't eat. You know, that's crucial in one of those societies where everybody has to, it's really difficult and everybody pulls everything together. You know, there are some times when it's so tough that in order to make it, especially in communal living, everybody goes out, works, they bring everything in, and then the needs are taken care of and distributed. In fact, there was a time in early church life, in the early church, that's exactly what happened. That everybody went out and they got money from various sources, they worked, did whatever, and they all brought it back into a central treasury, so to speak, and then it was distributed to help meet the needs of everybody in that communal setting. Well, we don't have too many situations like that here today. Oh, you might find some enclaves here and there in spotted throughout the country where maybe they agree to do that. But most of us, we don't function and operate in that kind of a situation. But society expects you to be a good provider. You know, you're going to provide things like food and shelter and clothing. It's an interesting thing that as a father, you provide all these things and you know what it takes to do just those basic things. Do you realize that most of our kids nowadays have no idea what it takes just to provide that? Think about it. Food. Think of the expense of food and shelter and clothing. Just three things. If you were to do that and did it well, you've been a good provider if you can do that. Food, shelter, and clothing. And most of our kids, they grow up and they don't have that responsibility because that hasn't come to them yet. It is down the road. It's amazing how your kids, when they grow up and they start having their own families, how they all of a sudden realize just what it took to provide food and shelter and clothing. And hear me today, man, if you've done that and you've done it well, then that's one of the marks of being a good dad, to do that to the best of your ability. And we know that sometimes economic situations are such where it's hard to do that. And no one understands it but yourself. And sometimes your kids, they're not going to really appreciate it. They don't understand either. They don't know how difficult it is. You know, they just know it's taken care of. I got a roof over my head. You know, I got clothes on my back. I have food on the table. I don't go to bed at night hungry. And we want it that way. We want to keep it that way. But you know, life is such that you don't get something like that for nothing. It takes hard effort and it takes work. And God commends us when we are good providers for our families. That's something that's commendable. Well, society expects it. You know, they also expect you to be a good protector. A good protector. Not only a good provider, but a good protector. You know, we want to protect our families. Sometimes from people. There are certain people we want to protect our children from. And we want to protect our children and our families from situations that might harm them. And so one of the roles of being a good dad is that role of protector. You're not only a provider for your family, but you're a protector of your family also. And you have to make decisions along the way that will have a direct effect on each member of your family. Sometimes it's your spouse, oftentimes it's your children as you're rearing them. And that's a godly responsibility. And sometimes you might be faced with a situation where you just don't know. You might be in a situation where you have no former experience. And you have to ask yourself, what in the world do I do now? Because in that role of protector, you want to do what's right. You want to provide a safe haven, a safe life situation for each member of your family. But you don't have the experience to draw on. And you're asking yourself, what do I do? And many find themselves in that quandary. And they just do what they think is best. It's not always the right decision, but they try to do what's best. But society believes that you ought to be a good provider and you ought to be a good protector of your family also. They expect that. But what are God's expectations? I read this verse for you. Notice what it says in verse 12 of this fifth psalm. Thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord, thou dost surround him with favor as with a shield. Do you know that if you were to do one thing in life, and that was strive to be a righteous man? Well, what is a righteous man? How do you define that? Well, a righteous man is a man who does what is right. If that was one of your goals, say your primary goal, that as a father, in this family, I want to do what is right. I want to do it consistently. I want to do what is right. Do you know that that is something that is admirable and that will bring divine favor if you actually live your life in such a way? By biblical definition, you know, this results from a relationship with God. In other words, it would be very difficult to truly achieve a righteous life. In fact, it's impossible, the scripture declares, unless you have the right relationship with God. By having the right relationship with God, you're now able then to establish and have a right relationship with your family, with your spouse, with your children. To be favored of the Lord is a wonderful thing. In fact, it says that you're going to get favor from this. Thou dost surround him. Who? The righteous man. Lord, you surround him with favor as with a shield. What is a shield used for? A shield is used to stop whatever it is that's being fired at you. And hopefully we don't have many missiles coming our way, but sometimes there are things that happen in life, it seems like they're aimed right for us, and the shield is there to be raised and to become a barrier between what it is that is meant to destroy you and to kill you and you raise that shield to deflect it so that you're protected. And in this passage it says that God becomes your protector. Just as you would protect your family, if you're doing what is right, God raises that shield to protect you. He will favor you as with a shield. And even though it may seem like things are difficult and you're beyond your own resources to make things right, and by doing what is right and striving to do what is right and having the right relationship with God, God will step in and he'll be your protector and keep you from those things that would harm you and keep you from fulfilling that godly role as father in your family and doing the right thing. Well, to be a righteous man, to love God, to love your family. What are the results? Well, you become a man favored by God, as I've mentioned. And what does that do? You become really an example for others. Oftentimes, we will see from a distance sometimes how one relates to his relations, to his family. And we'll say, man, he's such a great dad. Have you ever heard that said? He's such a great dad. Well, what do you base that opinion on? You base it on observation, on how that man treats his spouse and his kids. And it's really great when your kids think you're a great dad. Sometimes they think you're really great. Sometimes they think you're not so great. Later on in life, when they have their own family, then all of a sudden they realize how really great you were. But that comes later on. And you may have kids, and maybe they're one of several stages there. Some of you have had your children come through your family, and so you've gone through all those stages where they're not so sure you're that great, and then they realize later on, well, you know, he really was a great dad. It comes with experience. Loving God, love your family. The result, you become a man favored by God. You become an example for others. Others can see it. Also, you become an example for your children. And later on, they will remember the values you embrace long after you're gone. Someday, should the Lord tarry and delay his coming, you're going to be gone. What kind of thoughts are your children going to have of you? Are they going to think you were a great dad? Fathers, are they going to say, you know, I miss my dad? And a blessing it is to have children who truly miss their father, who loved them and cared for them, and was the kind of man that God wanted him to be in that important role as father in the family. What a blessing it is to truly be loved and missed by your children. It's going to happen someday. The example for your children. And oftentimes, what happens is, as I've mentioned, is that they begin to not only emulate, but they begin to act in much the same way that you acted when you had things to deal with in their upbringing. Be a leader in your home. That's what God expects. Be a leader in your home. I've never been one to really appreciate individuals I've observed from time to time, men in their home that come across as kind of pushovers and kind of wishy-washy, and they let everyone else run the show, and they're just there, you know. Have you ever met any people like that? It's kind of a pitiful thing, you know. I have a hard time of reconciling my vision of a man of God and wimpy, you know, to be wimpy. I think you can't really have that. You can't have a man of God who's wimpy. There's something about character. When you say, be a man of God, there's something that speaks of character. When we say, you know, talk about manliness, and I'm not talking about being macho. See, the world takes something that's good and will distort it, and they'll sully it. And when they do that, then you're afraid to point out the godly characteristics that truly are admirable and something you want to desire. You want to be manly. So we're not talking about being macho in the worldly sense. We're talking about being a man of God that's willing to take a stand, who's firm in his convictions, who's willing to be a leader in the home. You know, I believe for godly women, I don't believe this is true of ungodly women, but I believe godly women want a man, a husband, to be a man in the home. They want leadership in the home. Now, go to your worldly advice. How often will you hear that on the talk shows, you know, the daytime talk shows? Boy, if you came out with that statement, they'd think you're some weirdo, some religious fanatic. You've got to be watched. You've got to be watched this person because they got some really strange ideas. And you got to be careful and stay away from them because that's what the world is doing. It takes something that's godly and it'll just turn a little bit and in such a way that it makes it something that's beautiful and wonderful and great to be undesirable. I believe God wants you to be a leader in your home. How do you react? What do you do when faced with uncertainty and challenges that are greater than all your resources? Where do you go? Because you know what happens is children always believe their father will have the answer. At least many of them think that. Well, I don't know, but what happens when children get in a jam? Oftentimes what they do, they call home, right? They come to dad. Why do they do that? More often than not, in a Christian family, they do that because over the years, they saw something, they learned something about what it meant to be a godly father in the home, and it had to do with leadership qualities. And so when they're in a situation where they don't know where to turn or what to do, what do? They get on the phone or they get in touch with dad. I'm going to call dad. I need to speak to dad about this. And they expect you to have an answer. You know what? What do you do? What do you do when you don't have the answer in such a time? You know what you do? You turn to your Heavenly Father. And your Heavenly Father will give you the fatherly advice that you give as a father to your kids and to those who love you. People in the world, they don't have that. They just come up with something and hope that because it's coming from them, it's going to work, or they'll take it as being the truth or whatever. But you're not in that kind of a quandary. You can go to your Heavenly Father who cares about you. He's put a shield of protection around you. You are favored of the Lord. And in those times when nobody has the answer and they come to you and they're looking to you for leadership, where do you go? You go to the throne of grace, to your Heavenly Father. And your Heavenly Father will speak from heaven into your life. And your Heavenly Father, He will give you what you need to know. He'll give you wisdom in the hour when it's most needed. And you can be the kind of dad that your kids will honor. And they will rise up. And just as they will rise up and call a virtuous woman blessed, they will also do that for you. And they'll recognize that God is in your life. One of the most valuable things you can pass on to your children is your love for God. You see, how you live your life reflects your relationship with God. And if nothing else your children gained from you but that they knew that you were a man of God who loved God and served Him to the best of your ability, and you always tried to do what was right, that is something that is precious and valuable. In a world that tries to redefine what is good, what is right, and what is wrong, they're redefining it, trying to twist and conform it so that it meets their satisfaction. In this kind of a world, it means something to know that you had a dad who reared you, who always wanted to do what was right. What kind of example do you want your kids to have when you're gone? I'm reminded, when we speak of personal responsibility in living our faith, there's a poem that was written. It's an anonymous poem. It was written a number of years ago, and it's entitled "The Gospel According to You." But the last stanza of the poem, "The Gospel According to You," it reads like this. It says, "You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by things that you do, by things you say. Others read that gospel, whether faithless or true, say, what is the gospel according to you?" You see, how should one live for God? What are you saying to others? Personal responsibility. We don't realize how important that is, but it speaks volumes, not only to just others in general, but to our children and those whom we love. Well, What example do we have? Christ is our example to follow. As I mentioned earlier, he was obedient to his Father. And notice in that prayer in the garden, when he was feeling the pressure of all that was around him, he was truly man. He was truly God and truly man at the same time. A mystery that's hard for us to understand how that could even be. But he was. He was truly God and truly man. He was the God-man. And he's feeling the pressure and the spiritual forces there in the garden. And the temptation, of course, was to somehow divert from the will of the Father. That's why he uses the word nevertheless. Why is that in there? Well, because he was being tempted. You say, was he really tempted? Yeah, he was tempted. He wouldn't truly be human if he didn't experience temptation. Some people don't want God, the second person of the Trinity, to have temptation. Of course he would, because he was truly man also. And he says, I wish these things would pass and I could do it some other way perhaps, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, he wanted the will of his heavenly Father to be done in his life. And when we're talking about righteous fathers and people who want to do what is right, that is the cry of our heart, oh God, help us to do what is right. It's not so much what is expedient, what I feel will benefit me for the moment, but I take into consideration those who follow me and what are they looking to and how will I arise to the occasion and what example will I be once I am gone. Christ is our example, obedient to the Father. I would ask you this morning, men, to just ponder for a moment, what is the influence you have on your children or have had on your children? And the next question is, does it or did it lead them to God? I don't want to be remembered as someone who was so strong in his religious convictions that it kept his children from God. I much rather want to be remembered as one who did have strong convictions, but it led his children to God. How about it? What do you think? What influence have you had on your children? Has it led your children to God? Douglas MacArthur, great military leader of the past and respected by many for his ability on the battlefield, was often invited to speak and to comment on issues of the day. And he made this statement on one such occasion. He said, you know, by profession, I am a soldier and take pride in that fact. But I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build. The father only builds, never destroys. The one has the potentiality of death. The other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life are mightier still. It is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me not from the battlefield, but in the home, repeating with him our simple daily prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. From a man who could have listed all kinds of great accomplishments, wishing for his son to remember him, for he chose to turn in a different direction and said, oh no, it's not the battlefield accomplishments. It's what happened in the home around our family prayers. Our Father, chart in heaven, may that be the influence that leads my son into the future. As fathers, I believe we want to have God's favor in our life. I pray for that in mine. Oh, God, I look to you for strength and your divine favor, and I trust that is your prayer today. We realize our shortcomings. We don't have all the answers, even though sometimes, whether it be our children or others, come to us and expect us to have all the answers. We admit, readily admit, we don't have all the answers, but we do have one that we can turn to who does have all the answers, and that is our Heavenly Father. Would you bow in prayer right now? And perhaps this morning, in this closing, as we contemplate how God has spoken to us during this service, perhaps there may be one or two or several who would say, you know, Pastor, I need to rely more on God to help me. I want to be the father that God wants me to be, and I want his divine favor. I see that that's most important. It's not to be liked by everybody. It's not always to kind of fit in with every group I'm affiliated with. But it's more than that. It's to be a righteous man of God. And because by doing what is right, then God favors me. And then I can be that example to my family that I ought to be. That's the kind of man I want to be. I want to be a man of God who has the favor of the Lord. And I want God's help to achieve that end. If that's your prayer today, just raise your hand. You can put it down. I'll know what you mean. Yes, amen, amen. You're saying, I want God's favor in my life more than ever before. I want God to restrain me when I need to be restrained, and to help me to be forceful when I need to be forceful, and to be tender when I need to be tender, and loving when I need to be loving, and to be a leader when I need to be a leader. I want to be that kind of man in the home. I need God's help. Anyone else? Raise your hand and say, Lord, you know I need you, and that's what I want to be. Help me. Yes, amen. As I pray, you pray right where you are and ask the Lord, even in this moment, to help you to become the kind of dad that he wants you to be. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We thank you because your example as you lived life on this earth was such that it pointed us to our Heavenly Father, and we realize today that it is a wonderful thing to be known as a man of God, a righteous man, someone who wants to do what is right, and that this brings divine favor. There are so many that try to convince us that we need to maneuver and make decisions that sometimes are not always righteous, and sometimes they're deceptive, but that's the way to get ahead. That's the way to get things done. And we're told that from various sources in the world. But yet, God, today we want to come back to what your word declares. And if we truly want to do what is right and be the man of God that you want us to be, there is something very special that happens in our relationship with you. And you favor us when we are obedient and submit to your ways in our lives. And so I pray, O God, that you would find in every heart today a submissive will to your will. And God, that you would enhance every man in this place, especially fathers, O God, who have that responsibility. They want to do what's right, and help them, O Lord, in Jesus' name, to be the man of God you want them to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with me, if you will, please. Glory to God. Listen, there's always hope. In the most hopeless situation, when people look to you for leadership and people are looking to you for advice or whatever, and you may not have the ready answer that is needed, there's always hope when you turn to the Lord. And I believe that's what God's Word is declaring today, that that's where we find our strength. Let's turn to God. Let's be men of God. Let's be truthful. Let's be good in what we say and what we do. And let's strive. In those times when we just don't know, sometimes we have to turn immediately to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I need guidance now. I don't have time to wait. I need it now. And we can believe that God will give you whatever wisdom you need in that moment. And I trust that you'll have a blessed day on this Father's Day. And for those of you whose fathers are still living, and maybe they live in other parts of the country, of course you'll want to give them a call and let them know how much you appreciate them. Some of you might have dads who aren't serving God. You know, you could give a call and say, Dad, I was just thinking about you. I just want you to know I want God's best for you in your life. You don't have to preach a lengthy sermon. You say, you know, I've just been thinking about you. I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I want you to be the kind of man that God wants you to be. You can say it in a very subtle way like that, just to let him know you care, that you're praying for him without preaching at him. Just let him know you care, you're praying for him. That would be a good thing to do if you're in that situation. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. I thank you for every person here this morning. I pray that we all have heard from the Lord today. May all of us be better people because we have heard the word of the Lord and then we put it to practice in our lives. Enhance our lives with your presence, I pray. And now as we go our various ways, help us, Lord, truly to be the salt of the earth. Help our lives to touch other lives and to have an effect on them for the sake of your kingdom. I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you and have a great Father's Day.
Inside, then I thought that I was on